Les colloques du Collège de France.
We come to the finale furioso of the final. So today was the last day of the 5 days conference, and now we have the last word, le dernier mot, of course, for Claude. So, Claude, the floor is yours.
So, I guess you know that I'm very impressed by this series of lecture, the welcome. It's really fantastic, and it's really, you are doing really too much overselling with respect to what I did. But okay, and on top of that, I wrote the slides, as you all do in the speaker, but the slides at the end of the day, they were edited by Norbert. So that's already maybe some change. And I tried to make a short talk, trying to see from where I come and how the thing go. Now there is a top counter node. Oh, there is one. Okay. So I just wanted to find one to tell you from where I come. So I come from a family that were Jewish, that were living in Hungary, and there was a grandfather, and on the other hand, I had a father, no wonder. But in spite of coming from the same region, they were very different from background. My grandfather, my grandmother were very official, and I will tell you more later. And on the other hand, my father came from an orphanage. No money, no parents. That was before the First World War. And at the end of the day, the two wars, the situation changed, of course. So that's my grandfather. He was an unconditioned official. He was a kind of lieutenant in the army of the emperor, and that he was fighting in Monte Laguzoi, which is just above Cortina d'Ampezzo. He had a gun that was during the First World War. And at the end of the day, almost the end of this war, he ended up in this big, nice building, which was barrack by that time for the guard of the emperor. So he was much better than just on the front, but that's a nice building. And the other one did not exist by that time. The guy who now lives here, it's Norbert. Here he has the World Bank Poly Institute on the 8th floor of this building, with that you may have visited. And by the way, I was very happy. I went, when my grandfather was still alive, he took me there to show me the place, and I took my grandchildren, granddaughter, to visit it at the same time. So that was the beginning of the story. Then my father was more, after in the 1954, he ended up well established. He took care of the family. He took me there just as a tourist in the Monte Laguzoi, just to show to the father, to show to my grandfather where he has been there. So we went there. Now that's the story. Now to complete the story, this guy, my father, was very discreet. He never talked too much in the old time, and in particular, he never talked about the war. I think that's something I learned also from the father of Pierre-Louis. Jacques-Louis never mentioned this kind of thing. Now, these are the tramway streetcar in Lyon. And they were created by, I think, at the beginning of the of the previous century, but they still existed in 1944 the same. And the only thing that I remember from my father in Lyon, because I was 40 years, I didn't remember much thing, was that I had a fantastic day with him. He told me that the game was to jump from one streetcar to the other as soon as we can. And that was a great day, and there was a guy, there was a bell, and people in the tram, they were ringing the bell so we could move from one to the other. Then much, much later, there was this movie, which is called Vita e Bella, which is the Benigni of, and the argument is that there's a family with a son which are jailed in a concentration camp, and the family explain to the kid that it was a game to survive. And then, much later, after the death of my father, of all this family, I realized that it was the same idea that my father was explained to me, that this was a game, and this was a good game. Okay, now I move to the slide. The next slide, I will move this. Well, I move the slide. No? Oh, that's forward. Okay, so that was my thesis defense. By that time, it was quite, that was in the Institut Henri Poincaré. And it was more or less very official. There was the director, which was Laurent Schwartz, where it is, and Jacques Lillions, and there was a big committee where there was Malgrange and Berger, and there was a guy in the audience because he didn't register in the committee, and that was Louis Nirenberg. So that were really very nice people, very supporting, and I had quite a nice, very pleasant defense. Now, before the defense, I had to write a thesis, and Lyon, Jacques-Louis, said that it was a good thesis. You should submit it in the Annales Scientifiques de l'École Normale. And by that time, there was no thing on the computer, no committee. The committee was just one man, who was Jean-Pierre Serre. And Jean-Pierre Serre said to Lyons, this is a good document, but it's really very badly written. He should make some, Bardot should make some improvement. Okay, so I made some improvement, and Lyons convinced Serre that it's just a trouble because, you know, this guy is from Hungarian origin and he doesn't speak well French. Well, you see, this was a good idea, but the idea collapsed at a moment which was very good because Jacques-Louis told me, there is Peter Lacks who comes. You should talk to him because maybe what you do may be interested, and then it would be good if you talk to Peter. So I went to the Institut Henri Poincaré. Peter Lacks was in an office, and he told me, Bardos! And I couldn't answer anything in Hungarian. So that was the story. Okay. Now, try to move on. Move on. No. Okay. So after that, I had the chance to meet the other Lyons. And that I tried to go fast just to say that you can read that it was really a nice experience to see him, except there's a comment that it was edited, the story mentioned about Rutgers at the end of this slide was edited by Norbert, And it was a story which Pierre-Louis mentioned exactly this morning. So there is nothing to say except thank you once again for your patience, among other things. Okay, now I try to give some information about mathematics. That will be for the next slide. And it overlaps with several things that were said in the previous talks, and that especially, of course, in the talks of Jeff about the talk of Dave about Navier's talks and so on. So you have a big overlap between what I could mention here and what was the object of part of the talk of Dave. So I make it very short. The idea is that at some point, Lyons and decide to write a publish a kind of French. I'm starting to have a problem about the name. He's just trying to write the French. Come on. Pardon? The Courant d'Hilbert. He was trying. You see, I'm trying to getting old now. He was trying to. He was there. These two guys decide that they will do the French Courant d'Hilbert. The French Courant d'Hilbert is a book that was around in the 1960, but it was a French, an American version of the initial book of the. The advisor of Courant and others, who was Hilbert. So that's the reason why the book had two names, but it was only the Courant Hilbert. So they decided they will do several volumes, and with it they will assemble that with anyone they want that will be efficient, make the young guy to write it and publish it. And the result for me was, I don't know if the book is very popular now, but as far as stimulating our community, it was really a fantastic experience. There were several people involved in it. They mentioned, okay, so Dautre, who passed away this year, was the high committee of the box of the CEA, so Atomic Energy. So he had some possibility in terms of organization to support the experience. And Lyons was really helping them. And so they create really a team. Of very diverse, for instance, at some point, Itzigson was also working with them, and mostly they were working with younger people. The younger people you find, you have Benoit, you have Pierre-Louis, who was in the group, you had people that were there because they were just had to be in the army. So that was a military duty to be there. And the result was, in particular, that in several steps, we return exactly to what was said in the talk of Dave. The first thing, we start from something that was described this morning by François, where he just was looking at the limit of relative transfer equation, and at this limit there was an issue to see whether or not this describes some material that become critical. So that was a problem in terms of eigenvalue. And this was also something which was mentioned, which was in the paper that is described by François this morning, but François didn't mention that, talking about blunder, there was a blunder by Rémy, who may be there, where it dealt between weak convergence and strong convergence, and things when giving weak convergence were not enough to prove anything. So there was a guy who was a full-time working with Dautre, whose name is Cessna, and they asked Cessna to fix the problem. And Cessna is there, up there. So Cessna managed to change something which was more or less correct in something which turned out to be completely correct. Now, turning completely correct, that made turned out to be the first proof of what will be after that the that will be after that the Lyons gold per time centis, which was the proof of the averaging lemma. So the first simple proof of the averaging lemma come from 1985. And then, very soon after that, Pierre-Louis and Ron discovered that, or started to work very on this averaging lemma, with the idea that this will be the tool to go back to the result of the Boltzmann equation, which they found for the renormalized solution. So, and in between that, in between these two, there we, with François and Benoît, we made one application which of something that became nonlinear, which is just an example of the nonlinear version of the radiative transfer equation, but that was maybe the first step of the program. By the way, I think I was in Cortona with Pierre-Louis and Ron, and they were discussing already maturing the Boltzmann equation, which is done after that. After that, you can see on this thing very shortly what were the different steps that move from the let's say the diffusion for neutron transport to the program, which I terminated there by François and Laure. And you can see all the steps that went there. And this will also be another extension. Extension would cover what was said by Norbert this morning about quantum nonlinear Schrödinger and the appearance of Vlasov dynamic. And it was also a contribution of Markovitch, Moser, and Lyons, which turns out to be also a cornerstone. And I will finish for this one. What is in the paper of Lyons and Paul is an example where you define the Wigner transform to look at the limit from the nonlinear Schrödinger equation of the system. And what they found is that you have a limit which will be non-trivial, where everything should go to zero and there will be no much thing, they needed the notion of mixed state. They needed the nature oscillate with all the different frequencies. And then, in the meantime, they found that there was already a contrarian note of 1946, but which was done by Yvon. And then I just find out that this note was, which was published in 1946, was done much earlier, which in fact it was in 1944. That was a big difference. This was in Neuengamme. Okay, you want me to move? I move to one slide more. Okay, so I put that on this slide. I wanted to really to say that again, that Pierre-Louis and Thierry found out this mixed state in 1946, but that was done, I think, in fact, maybe the 1944 or just beginning 1945. Now it's BGK, it means Bogolubov, Born, Green, Kirkwood, and Yvon, and it goes back to 1935. And then, after the death of Yvon, he had a certain number of colleagues, in particular Dautre, De Dominici, Horowitz, they decided to write all his complete work. And as the first page of the complete work is written this note, which is an unwritten one, which was written by Yvon in his concentration camp in Neuengamme. Okay, I am moving to the end. The end is that I just say that if I go back, I had the chance to live really in an interesting time. I just quote this thing because it's everywhere in the literature, say that it is quoted by Chamberlain and other people, but it's not. It is not a Chinese saying, as we. It's completely apocryphal, but saying "May you live in an interesting time" will be fully adapt to what I have been living after that. And I comment by another saying, which comes from Louis Armstrong when the saints go marching, oh yes, I want to be in the number. I don't want to sing it for you, but that was really the motus of my community. I wanted what I wanted. I thought always that math was not easy, but that the community was fascinating, and what I wanted to be is to be in the community, to be with the saints, and that's what I say. And I just took this big list of people from Google the Google Map, and it's not Google Map, it's just the name of all the people from with whom I wrote a paper. I just don't repeat the name, so every Le Beau is one, Roche is one, but anyone, if I take all the paper at the end, it's 338 issue for living in a great time. So that's the thing. And the rest are just pictures that we can browse. You see, I really had a very good influence for Uriel Frisch, which I met at the École Normale. Now this is Adamar. We have already heard a lot about Adamar. I just want to say one thing, just because I am 85, is that in this room, I am surely the only one that met Adamar. And by that time, there was the Institut Henri Poincaré already existed. It existed before the Second World War. And there was a library. There is always a library. But this library was run by a guy who was very authoritarian with the young people. His name was Belgodère, which is a name from Corsica. And the only thing that we could observe, there were one person on which he could really take care. And that was Adamar. You know, he did everything to take care of Adamar. So the other people, that's one when a student, you know this one, it's Peter Lacks, his family, Andy Maida, I have several here. They are in it's Dave, the Sony. Here you see these people, you know them. First, this one I know. This is Joe Smoller with Nishida. And someone who was there was, that was in Oxford. I think Pierre-Louis was in Oxford. And people there, most of them have disappeared, but there was Andy, La Fermos, and Andy, La Fermos, and Constantine. Now, the Constantine, La Fermos, and this, maybe Guidas, what is that one? And that was someone who was important for me in the École Normale, who was Boutet de Montvel. This, you saw Irene yesterday, so there's no comment, that's great. And these two also, you know. Okay, so you can just browse the thing. There is one thing I can read. There is Dave here, which is with Marie, and this, and Adrien, which was my the father of this guy, and was more or less kind of advisor in the École Normale. And here you have Foyage and Luc Tartar, if you will, and other than Gibbon. And this one, you know, they are around. And here I am in the mountains with people that were really nice enough to take care of me. Okay, and that's, I could stop here. You can look at them. They are more or less on my web page. Okay.
Okay, just one thing. So I didn't edit it. It was the granddaughter of Claude Celeste. And I, who he did everything himself, so he came, but it was very scrambled on a program called Key. I don't know. I think Olivier installed it to Claude, and then he really had a technical problem of putting the contents there. And last night we came back from Sondage-Lubrec, and he was driving the car for 2 hours in terrible traffic jams. And then at 11 in the night, and he wanted just to add two lines on this big bullets with all the people and the. And to add two lines, he told me 10 minutes, I go asleep. So this was about 8:30. And at 11, I went to his office, and he was still there trying. So I helped him to get this, and he could take a sleep. And so there's also Octave, the grandson of Claude, who does Glass Prepa, is also here today. And one remark, I didn't know if everybody catched it. The first transparency, where there were the tramway in Lyon, and he played with the game with the film La Vita è Bella. So he jumped from one to the other because there was a raffle. There was the Nazis were chasing the Jews. And you know, in Lyon there was Barbie, so Claude could have ended up very badly if his father wouldn't have played this game to escape. And Claude told me that everybody in the tramway was supportive. So they knew these are the Jewish people who hide now because there was the Gestapo around. And so that was the game. Okay, so. Questions, remarks, everybody's free before we pass to the champagne.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.